First of all, again, a special shout out, Joel, for putting these shirim together, and hashkama, a shir can meet with great hashkama before Shabbos, and it's given us the opportunity of getting to meet personalities we may not have the opportunity of meeting and learning from, and especially this is true this era of Shabbos. I think we are very, very fortunate to be stealing some time from Rabbi Moshe Hawa in his incredibly busy schedule, and it's with special thanks to Rabbi Simon Taylor, who has extended the invitation, and we have this opportunity of working together, of hearing and learning Torah together. I want to just, for those who do not know Rabbi Hawa Shmoy Halech Lofonov, we know him most contextually right now as Executive Vice President of the OU, and the OU is certainly not just kosher. The OU is an organization which is transforming the world of the rabbinate, and transforming the world of the of essentially all the issues that communities and families need to be dealing with. The OU is there and researching and trying to work out how to resolve those issues, whether it be from a shidduch crisis, or it'd be the issue of kids going off the derech, or whether it be parenting. These are issues that the OU are actively investing time and money into to make this a priority. But that's really just only the hat that Rabbi Hauer is wearing recently. Rabbi Hauer, to me, and to so many rabbanim around the country, is a role model of what a rav means. For over 25 years, he has been the Rav of B'nai Jacob Shari Zion. Whenever I go to Baltimore, I try to make it my business to walk over just to go and to hear Rabbi Hauer and to see how Rabbi Hauer is a rabbi, how he transforms the life of so many individuals in his community and beyond. He has trained Rabbanim from Neri Yisrael and beyond to become Rabbanim in the same way that he has. And it happens to be just a few years ago when I was in Neri Yisrael, I had the opportunity of spending a Lag BaOmer night with Rabbi Hauer, and still today resonates in my life as a moment of light. It is with great honor that we have Rabbi Hauer address us this evening.
Rabbi Trump, you are way, 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 way too kind. And I appreciate it very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And ain't a tliya bedavar to be able to tell this assembly. I thank you for inviting me to join you. Beautiful thing. A shir on a Thursday night. I understand it has a context from before the days of Zoom of Hashkama Shir. And just tell you what you already know very, very well, which is the uniquely outstanding Rav that you have in Rabbi Trump, who's really one of my favorites, and everybody's favorites, and his leadership, his creativity, his caring, his Torah, everything. It's just such a gift, and Ashrechem, and I'm sure that you treasure him as your Rav. I also want to thank Rabbi Simon Taylor for facilitating this, and Joel for inviting me. So let's get down to it. Let's learn a little bit. It's Leil Lag BaOmer, and it's also Erev Shabbos of Parshas Emor. So I want to try to do is to share with you a perspective, perhaps on one of the less visible, unique qualities of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And it's one which we should frame, I think, in terms of at least a little bit of the opening of the Parsha. I think many are familiar that Parshas Emor, which is the Parsha really of the instructions to the Kohanim about the Kohuna, in the Sefer, which is Toras Kohanim, which is all called, Leviticus, the English names are always right? The laws of the Levites, the laws of the Kohanim, much of it was about their avoda, about the korbanos, about how you bring this offering, how you purify this one or the other one. Emor is the conduct of the Kohen himself, the Kohen in his personal life, the preservation of Kedusha. And we all know what Rashi quotes in the beginning of the Parsha from a Gemara in Yevamos, that the Torah says, interestingly here, Emor al ha-kohanim b'nei Aaron v'yomartu aleihem, a double expression of giving over, say to the Kohanim, and you shall say to them. And that redundancy is explained by the Gemara, that apparent redundancy is explained by the Gemara, l'hazir gedolim al ha-ketanim, to instruct the adults with regard to the children, that there becomes a responsibility, or the Torah is articulating here, a responsibility that parents have to worry about the young. Gedolim halaktanim, in a certain sense, of course, you see it in the context in the Gemara, altogether about kotanoch on the velos, about children doing the wrong thing, that adults have to worry. Of course, they have to do it right. Exactly how lahaz here is accomplished effectively is a subject matter for itself. But the what's being given over here, certainly in context, is not just preservation of one's own, but preservation for the future. And perhaps here, just we can see a sharp, short insight within the parsha. You know that the instruction is lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav, that a kohen is not allowed to become tameh to a relative. He can't go to a funeral. He can't come in contact with a mace, with a corpse. But there's an exception. There's a group of exceptions. She'ero hakarov elav, to their close relatives. To them, they're able to become tameh. This is true of a kohen. Who else is limited in going to funerals? Well, of course, the kohen gadol is limited to go to funerals, and the kohen gadol can't even go to relatives. Who else is limited from going to funerals? A nazir. And a nazir, like the kohen gadol, can't even go to relatives. What's the difference? Right, so one way to see it is, okay, you know, the kohen is basic kedusha, the kohen gadol and the nazir are super kedusha. Basic kedusha can take a day off and go to a funeral, but super kedusha is not able to do so. Perhaps, however, there's something completely different at play. And that is, tell me something, how does this person become a kohen? How does a person earn kahuna? So we all know, and I'm sure someone is immediately recalling the famous joke about the Pidyon HaBen, you know, but everybody knows that the kohen is a kohen because his father was a kohen and his grandfather was a kohen. Kohen, the keser kahuna, the crown of kahuna, the crown of what we call the crown of the priesthood, is la'arenu levanav. It is something which is inherited. If you have something which confers upon you a status, but it's only because of your relatives, it's only because of your family connection, is it fathomable that you would ignore that family connection? That gift which was given to you because of your family connection should supersede the responsibility? Remember from our parsha, we not only learn a heter, an allowance for a kohen to go to a karov's relative, we learn from here essentially the mandate, the responsibility to worry about relatives, to worry about relatives who have passed away, and otherwise, the kohen's claim on his kedusha is because of his familial connection, so you can't ignore that connection. A kohen gadol, while it is true, you can't be a kohen gadol if you're not a kohen first. And it is also true that a kohen gadol who has a son who's worthy, so there's a first dibs that he has to be the kuna gadola. But kuna gadola is not simply inherited. It's a meritocracy. Kohen gadol, kuna gadola, you have to deserve it. It's an earned piece. That's why, we suggested once, that's why a regular kohen, he brings a special offering on the day that he becomes a kohen, the day he enters the avoda, and that's it for life. A kohen gadol, every single day he has to do it because he never rests. He has to always be, in a sense, re-inducted. It's always, in a sense, like the first day. A nazir has made his own decision to bring himself into the realm of kedusha. When your kedusha is your own, so then perhaps it supersedes even becoming tummy to relatives. But when your kedusha comes from the context of family, it does not coexist with ignoring responsibility or connection to family. Of course, the regular kohen has to go to a funeral. Emor v'yamarta. That's perhaps a thought for starters on the parsha, but it goes further. And let's look at it a little bit further into this aspect of the life of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I'm sorry, I don't have. I'm not so good with the screen sharing. Maybe someone could do this. But picture in your mind. I'm sure many of you have been there, seen pictures. such Saturday, Be'ez Hashem, it should be a place of simcha, of joy, always the place of the where the hilula of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. You know, if you'll look at it, you'll notice in the pictures on the entrance, there's an archway on the entrance, and there are words written across the archway. The words are Kilosi Shachach mi Pizaro, for it will not be forgotten from the mouth of his offspring. It's a chelik, it's a portion of a pasuk in the Torah. The Shira Hazos, the song of the Torah, will testify before them because it will not be forgotten mi Pizaro. Why is that pasuk or that portion of the pasuk placed at the entrance of the Ma'ara of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? So the source for it really is starts in a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, and Daf Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that when the Chachamim, when Rabbi Seinu, really the members of the Sanhedrin, entered Kerem B'Yavne, right? They went to Kerem B'Yavne. When they entered KBY, which was the place, one of the places of the Golus of the Sanhedrin, where the Sanhedrin went after the Churban Habayis. When they entered Kerem B'Yavne, so they made a dire prediction, and they said, "Asida Torah shetishtakach miYisrael." The Torah is destined in the future to be forgotten from the Jewish people. Terribly dire prediction, and they quoted a pasuk in the Navi Amos, a famous pasuk, a famous verse. Songs have been made from it. Hine yamim boyim ne'um Hashem alekim vishlachti rav ba'aretz lo rav lo lechem v'lo tzom al amayim kim lishmo es divrei Hashem. There are days which are coming, and there will be famine in the land, not for bread, not thirst for water, but for the word of Hashem, which he interpreted that meant that there will be a dearth, an absence. There won't be, it'll be forgotten. Rachman Litzlan, heaven forbid, from the Jewish people. That was what they said. And he goes on to bring another pasuk that supports the same idea, and more is said. However, when we get to the bottom of the page, Tanya Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Rav Shimon ben Yochai said, Chas v'shalom shetishtachach Torah miYisrael. Heaven forbid that the Torah will be forgotten from the Jewish people. Shene'emar, and he quotes this pasuk in Parshas Vayelech, Kilo si shachach mi pi zaro. Thank you very much. Kilo si shachach mi pi zaro, because it will not be forgotten from the mouths of his offspring. That pasuk, which you see now on the screen, if you're looking, where you see it will not be forgotten, and you'll notice that it's not just that the pasuk is quoted, but the last letters of the Sofei Tevos, of the five words of that pasuk, are put in blue and larger because they spell Yochai. They spell Yochai. Kilo si shachach mi pizaro. The phrase above, Irva Kadish min Shemaya Nachis, is not a biblical phrase, right? But this describes the great gift, so to speak, min Hashemayim of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Kilo si shachach mi pizaro. That's the verse which becomes, so to speak, the trademark of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It will not be forgotten from the mouths of his children. Actually, the credit, in a certain sense, the association is with his father. So let's explore something here. Let's explore something here together. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says the Torah will never be forgotten from their offspring, from their children. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had a child. What was his name? Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. Why do we know so much that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had a child? Why do we know about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's child? Well, the famous story of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the famous Lag BaOmer story of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, where Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was being hunted by the Romans because of some negative statements which he had made about the Roman government and their motives in providing the superior infrastructure which blessed the community, including the Jewish community. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had to go on the run. And what are we told? What's the story? When he went on the run, with his son, with Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. And they went, the two of them, Vitashu b'ma'ara, b'marasa, they went and they hid in a cave. They hid in a cave for 12 years, where together they learned Torah. from morning until night, or maybe more, is the implication even of the Gemara. They learn Torah, they engaged in some form of tefillah, big discussion, because elsewhere we find in the Gemara, Shem Bar Yochai was so involved in Torah that he didn't daven as regularly. But they studied Torah for 12 years, completely, completely removed from the world. Rav Shem Bar Yochai, in a certain sense, living what he famously put up as the ideal in the Gemara in Maseches Brachas, learned Torah all the time. And during that time, how was he sustained? Remember when he first went into hiding from the Romans, so his wife would send them care packages. He was hiding in the Beis Medrash. His wife would send them care packages, probably with little notes. But then he was afraid. He was afraid. He was a wanted man. Maybe they would pressure her. And he didn't want her to be stuck in the position where she would know where he was and have to keep it to herself. So he left, and he didn't want her to know where he went, so that she wouldn't be, again, vulnerable. But he went with his son. And how was he sustained? The Gemara says that a charuv, that a carob tree, grew there miraculously in the cave, and a stream of water came through. And that was it, 12 years. And then another one of buxer and water, right? It's called the Yochai diet. So the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was there with his son for all of those years. The person whose mantra was "Ki lo tishachach mi pi zaro," that it won't be forgotten from the mouths of his children, of their children, when he went into hiding, of course he went into hiding with his son. He went to learn with his son. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in Maseches Sukkah, I believe Daf Chaf Hei, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said a famous statement, "Ra'isi b'nei aliyah, I've seen people who have aspirations, spiritual aspirations, and they are few." And he goes on in a famous statement. He says, "If there are 1,000, they include my son and me." Right? It includes me. If there are 100, it includes the two of us. If there are 2, it's the two of us. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was evidently, completely and totally invested in his son's spiritual well-being alongside his own. I don't know if we would have guessed that about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai when we hear the general stories of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. I mean, he was someone who was so removed from the world. He was completely and totally dedicated to Torah, to his study. He wouldn't engage in work. He hoped that and believed that as a result, he would be taken care of miraculously. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, complete dedication, along with his own spiritual thriving, was a dedication, a concurrent dedication to the thriving of his own child. I would like to suggest to you that perhaps, I think this is truly Bederech Efshar as a possibility. That's why he had that diet of the Charuv. Why is that? What's the significance of the Charuv, of the carob? Where do you find the carob tree appear elsewhere in Chazal? So there's one Chazal which you'd have to use more imagination than I'm going to offer tonight to plug into this Gemara, and that's a famous thing where it said that kol ha'olam nizon b'shvil chanina b'ni, v'chanina b'ni daylo b'kav charuvim erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos. The whole world would be sustained by chanina, for in the merit of Rav Chanina ben Dosa. So people are eating, you know, steaks and chicken salad and all the gutas, every good thing because of my son Chanina in his chus. But he gets by with nothing, with a little bit of buxer from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. That's what he gets by with. But there's another more elaborate story about a carob, and it's the story of Choni HaMa'agil. Remember that story which is told in the Gemara in Tanis? I'll remind you of the story. The Gemara says that Choni HaMa'agil was walking and he was thinking about what we say every Shabbos, B'shuv Hashem Ashiv Asiyon Hayinu Kecholmin. When Hashem will return, the exiles, the prisoners of Tzion, we were as dreamers. And he knew that the Golus, the Shivas Tzion, which was spoken about there, was from Golus Bavel, which was 70 years. So he said, is there anybody who would be dreaming for 70 years? Is there anybody who would be dreaming for 70 years? So that was part of his question. The Gemara tells the story that he was walking by someone, and that person was planting a charuv, he was planting a carob tree. And Choni HaMa'agil asked him a question. And the question was, why are you doing this? You know how long it takes for a carob tree to bear fruit? 70 years. How long does it take for a carob tree to bear fruit? 70 years. He says, you're never going to benefit from it. You're never going to have anything from it. Why are you planting it? And the man said that I came to a world where there were charuvim. I came to a world where there were carob trees. That person, he said, Ahu Gavra, he found a world with carob trees. So somebody planted them for me, even though they weren't going to be able to eat from it. So I'm going to do the same. And I'm going to plant it for a next generation, even though I won't, myself won't be able to benefit from it. The Gemara tells that story. It's interlaid. So meanwhile, Choni HaMa'agil falls asleep, you know, for 70 years. And he wakes up. He's made to wake up 70 years later, and he gets up. And doesn't realize, of course, that he's taken such a long nap. Right? It happens to many of us. And he goes walking down the street, and he sees a fully blossomed carob tree. And he sees somebody under the carob tree who looks exactly like the fellow who was gardening when Choni HaMa'agil was last awake. And he said, wow, are you so-and-so who I saw planting the carob tree? He says, no, that's my grandfather. I'm his grandson. And Choni HaMa'agil is taken aback. Now he realizes that, wow, a gap. He slept till the carob tree grew. He slept 70 years. Choni HaMa'agil goes to the Beis HaMedrash. He hears a conversation. His own name is mentioned. Wow. It's as clear today as in the days of Choni HaMa'agil. And Choni HaMa'agil, who's like sitting there in the back, doesn't recognize. He clears his throat. He says, oh, you're saying Choni HaMa'agil. That's me. I'm Choni HaMa'agil. They didn't know him. They laughed him. He went to his house. And he thought he was seeing his children. He was seeing his grandchildren. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know him. And Choni HaMa'agil said the famous tragic words, O Chavrusa, O Misusa. Right? If you don't have connection, so then I'm living in a strange world, a world which doesn't recognize me, which doesn't know me. And he prayed that his life should end. That's making a long story short. That's the story of a charuv. Now, it's a cute story, you know, 70 years, he fell asleep, he wakes up, he's disoriented. It's not a cute story. You see, the idea that the Gemara says there, that Choni HaMa'agil was taught something that he didn't realize himself, that there's such a thing as planting something which has maybe no value for yourself, but that makes it no less worthy and no less relevant. He did it because there was going to be a future generation that would benefit from it. And there, it seems from this Gemara, Choni HaMa'agil was a great Talmud Chacham, an incredible, incredible tzaddik, right, whose tefillos were answered. But the Gemara here is pointing to a blind spot of this great Choni HaMa'agil, a blind spot that he didn't somehow have this sensitivity to the fact that, yeah, you do something, not for you necessarily, but for the future. And that blind spot is revealed in the story which ensues, which isn't just a tragic comedy of Choni HaMa'agil coming places and just nobody knowing who he was. One could posit that if the gentleman who had planted the carob tree slept for 70 years. To wake up to see it blossom, his family would have recognized him, and his Beis Medrash would have recognized him. Because in his life, the things which he did had them before his eyes. His life was about them. So there wasn't such a thing as a generation gap. You read the story, you think, generation gap. These people, they're living in their world. They're thinking about their things, and the others about something else. Do you know, do you ever notice that sometimes there are people who are so much older and they're so able to connect to people who are so much younger? Now, it doesn't mean that they have TikTok accounts or Instagram, that somehow they learned the cultural language of the youth or the methods. You know those people. And that's not the trick. It's not that they necessarily even know all the scores or whatever it is that somebody happens to be into in a younger generation. But they're the people who, when they walk around, all they're looking, all they're thinking about is the next generation. For them, if they went into a cave, if they had to go into a cave, they would, of course, they would take their child with them. If they're going to be a Ben Aliyah, if they're going to be someone who is dreaming, who's aspiring for big things, for great things, it's going to be Ani Ubeni. It's going to be me, and it's going to be my child. And when we live our lives where there's a focus and a clarity, that it's not, I'm living my life, and okay, Bez Hashem, I'll leave you something. I'll pave a path for you. But I'm living my life for you to have something. I'm living my life to pave something for you. You're my present, not just my future, not just my eventual. Then that line of communication is parallel. It's not sloped. It's ani ubani. It's I and my child. And perhaps that's part of ki lo sishochach mi pizaro. They won't be forgotten from the mouths of the children. How is it? How do we have that assurance of ki lo sishochach mi pizaro? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's formula. When that's what it's about. When that's what it's about. You know, one of the tasks that we have as parents is to try to give over to our children a perspective that we're taught is very, very important. Chazal say that a person has to be able to say, not has to be able to say, has an obligation to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'elam. A person should say, the world was created for me. Lafikach Nivra Ha'adam Yechidi, right? Hashem created one person. Adam HaRishon, the whole world was about Adam HaRishon, and from him the whole world came. The whole world grew out of Adam HaRishon. So from that, we should be able to derive that, you know, it could be me too. I could be the world. From me, a whole world could come, just like it came from one person once upon a time. It's all, this whole world is here just for me. Now, how does somebody come to say that? Sound could sound a little bit egocentric. Okay, it's not. It means on my shoulders, I could build a world. I could build a world like Adam HaRishon built a world, and it would all be worth it just for me. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. So it would seem, it seems to me that we have one place where we could have a head start on developing that attitude. And that is when a parent conveys that to the child that they're the whole world, that they're what it's about, that they're what it's about. If children have parents and we don't succeed to convey to them how central they are to us, that even for them, even their own creation of their child isn't as central, then it's hard to then have that sense, that possibility of understanding the worlds that could come from us, that we're so important. The person who created us, the people who created us, sometimes, you know, human beings, parents were distracted. The gift that we can give our children is a little bit of the taste of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, a little bit of the Emor Ve'amarta, Lahazir Gedolim Alaktanim, to understand that, you know, that connection is everything, that our investment in you, our investment in our child is our own ruach, it's our own spirit. That's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's formula of Kilo Sishachach Mipizara. Kilo Sishachach Mipizara. The centrality of the dedication of ourselves to our future, to our future. We think a lot and we constantly think, we have to think about what's the secret sauce for continuity, for Hamshech, for being able to see what we all hope and pray for, that Be'ezus Hashem, we should see children, banim uvnei banim, children and descendants following the path. Without any suggestion of something facile and a quick fixed solution, but we all understand that in a great sense, where it starts, not where it ends, but where it starts is with this kind of a clarity of commitment. If we go into the cave, we're taking the child with us. If we have aspirations, we're taking the child with us. Kilosi shachach mi pizara. If we're planting something, it's with them in mind. It's all about them. The world that we're creating is for them. Be'ezus Hashem, that should give each of them. And it's never too late, and our children are never too old to hear that from us. I'm just going to end with, I have a very dear friend, one of my favorite people in the world. I'm sure that many of you know him. His name is Rabbi Yeshua Hartman. Yeshua Hartman from London. He visits you sometimes? Rabbi Trump, does he visit you sometimes?
Not enough. But we hope
not
we
enough. Met Sasha. Never enough. He's a wonderful, wonderful person and an amazing Talmud Chacham. So Rabbi Hartman says, he's a very dear friend, and I once heard him say, or more once, he says he sometimes speaks on the phone to his children, and in the middle of conversation he says Yecheskel, I just want you to know something. I'm crazy about you. Like, you for me are everything. Now if I said to my children, they would say, Abba, stop imitating Rabbi Hartman. That's not my personality. I don't express myself that way. But there are ways that each and every one of us, whatever our form of expression, whatever our temperament, we could always stop doing something and help those children understand that we're crazy about them and that they're everything. And if we're going into the cave, they're coming with us. May we all be zocha to kilo sishachach mipizara.
Thank you, Rabbi Hauer. There's some shirim that we like to hear, but it's more important to hear shirim that we need to hear. Thank you,
Yishkayach. Excellent.
Thank you for the opportunity. Look forward, Be'ezus Hashem, to see you in person sometime soon.
God willing, looking forward to partnering in many ways. Thank you for your